The Tony Greig Show.
Welcome to the Tony Greig Show on Crick Info Talk.
News this week.
What would the West Indies do without Shivnarine Chanderpaul? I mentioned briefly last week that Chanderpaul is currently enjoying the best ranking of his career and is surely in the form of his life. In the past 12 months, he has played 9 tests, plundered over 1,000 runs at an average of 106, including 5 centuries. This is an unbelievable performance when one looks at what's going on around him. Once again in Barbados, this time on a fast, bouncy pitch, he alone defied the Aussies to end up unbeaten on 79. It was his innings that restricted the Aussie first innings lead to just 35. It could have been so much worse. Brett Lee has openly admitted that he has no idea how to get Chanderpaul out. Now that's a big admission coming from an Aussie. Mind you, despite the heroics of Chanderpaul with the bat, the West Indies bowlers were not able to capitalise on the pace and bounce in the Barbados pitch the way they did first time round when they caught the Aussies a little by surprise. It was Australia's opener Simon Cattage who batted throughout the third day and was eventually out for 157. Cattage and fellow opener Phil Jakes, who made 108, put on 223 for the first wicket. That's going a long way to making sure you win the Test match. And, of course, that also set the Australian declaration up. The West Indies then definitely benefited from uncharacteristic fielding lapses by Australia as they chased a Test record target of 475. The home side reached 235 for 3, not bad, at the end of day 4. Yes, and Shivnarine Chanderpaul is still there on 27 with Dwayne Bravo on 30. Could they pull off an unlikely miracle victory? I doubt it. But at the time of recording, there's still a tiny bit of light at the end of the tunnel, thanks largely to Chanderpaul. Australia dropped 3 catches as Xavier Marshall launched the West Indies run chase with a stylish 85. After day 3, West Indies coach John Dyson admitted in an interview that the constant negativity from outside his team was beginning to take a toll after again being asked to defend his players' performances. Dyson was probably having a go at West Indian bowling legend Joel Garner, who described the Calypso pace attack as lazy, unfit, and having a major attitude problem. The man known as Big Bird said the 4-man pace attack was not made of the right stuff for Test cricket. The intensity is only there for a session and a half, and then they go to sleep, he says. They bowl in bursts, which is not what is needed. Heavy stuff, let's face it. Man for man, the West Indies aren't in the same class as the Australians right now. That at least should be obvious to their critics. Kevin Peterson's century led England to a 114-run win in their first one-day international against New Zealand. The big right-hander timed his innings perfectly after the loss of Ian Bell, had England limping in the 20th over. Paul Collingwood and Oa Shah also played their part, but Peterson's 110 was the mainstay of England's 307-for-5. That's a big score. New Zealand rarely looked set. Stuart Broad, Graham Swan and Collingwood sharing 8 wickets as the Kiwis fell for only 193 all out, and that all happened by the 43rd over. When England play limited over cricket with this level of passion, they look competent enough to take on anyone. It all seems to hang on getting Peterson in and performing in the aggressive fashion he knows so well. England's new-look top order has a much more positive appearance to it, and they would do well to stick with it. After losing badly to India in the last of the preliminary matches, we once again witnessed the volatility of Pakistan cricket when a meant-to-be confidential email was leaked. This email, apart from being very critical of the team, called for answers and almost demanded that the team make good in the final. Well, they did. Pakistan clinched the tri-series title after centuries from Salman Butt and Yunus Khan helped to set up a 25-run win over rivals India. The pair recorded a brilliant 205-run second wicket stand before Yunus fell to Ishan Sharma for 108, while Butt was forced to retire hurt on 129. Set a daunting 316 target for victory, India lost wickets at regular intervals until Mahendra Singh Dhoni's 64 settled things down a bit. However, the total proved too much as they were eventually dismissed for 290. It seems that the predicament that Pakistan paceman Mohammad Asif has found himself in is taking a very long time to resolve. That in itself is revealing. Dubai's Attorney General will begin an inquiry into alleged drug offences by Asif in just over a week, according to the Pakistan Cricket Board officials. They also said that their lawyers had confirmed that Asif's case will start on the 22nd of June. He said no charges have been pressed against the cricketer. Asif was apparently found with a banned substance at Dubai Airport, and he's still in the airport's Terminal 2 detention centre. Not good.
What's eating Tony Greig?
Cricket's governing body, the ICC, seems to have gone very quiet recently. This is strange, especially at a time when there are those who think cricket is on the threshold of major changes as a result of the popularity around the world of 2020 cricket. It may be that the demise of Malcolm Speed has left a temporary void, and without him, the management, the new management that is, feel a little lacking in confidence. This is a possibility because India are leading the 2020 revolution, and because they have so much support at ICC level, there is no point in taking any leadership on some of the pressure issues. One way or the other, the ICC will have to buy back into cricket's direction because they are the body that bring all the parties to the table. The world of cricket need a 2020 plan that everyone can work to so that the future tours program doesn't end up on the scrap heap. India's IS Bindra may be the man to pull the parties together. Interesting times, one way or the other.
My favourite cricketer.
My favourite cricketer this week is Mahendra Singh Dhoni, or Mahi, as he's known to his mates. He is the current captain of the Indian 2020 team and the one-day team as well. He's also India's latest blue-eyed boy. Already under his leadership, India have won the 2007 ICC World 2020 and the CB Series. Not an easy one to win that. There is no doubt that Dhoni is in the category of another of my favourite players, Adam Gilchrist, as an aggressive keeper-batsman. Very important these days in any decent cricket team. He has also shown the maturity required to restrain his aggressive nature and play a responsible innings when the situation requires. He's also one of the most marketable cricketers in India. Who will ever forget the way he led India to that ICC World 2020 trophy in South Africa with a victory over arch rivals Pakistan in an intensely fought final, and in so doing became the second Indian captain to win a World Cup in any form of cricket after Kapil Dev. An indication of his stature in India was borne out when MS Dhoni was bought by the Chennai Super Kings for $1.5 million. This made him the most expensive player in the IPL auctions. He has already played over 91-day internationals and an incredible average of over 44. He's only 20 test matches to his name at an average of 36. But let's not forget his maiden century against Pakistan in Faisalabad. He made 148, and it remains the fastest century scored by an Indian wicketkeeper, and he's only just started. I think it's fair to say that recently the world of cricket has been blessed with four of the finest wicketkeeping batsmen ever. Australia's Gilchrist, Sri Lanka's Sangakkara, South Africa's Boucher, and of course India's one and only MS Dhoni.
One question only.
Right, the question of the week comes from Biju Santa Kumari from Botswana. He says the ICC has ranked the team's players based on tests and one-day international matches. He wants to know why there's no ranking system in place for 2020 cricket. What is my opinion on introducing a ranking system for 2020 cricket as well by the ICC? Another ICC issue. Well, Biju, it's only a question of time before what you are suggesting will happen. Mind you, I'd like to think that every effort will be made to rank 2020 players for their overall contribution, not just for batting and bowling separately the way it is done in tests and one-day internationals. They perhaps might even consider emulating some of the efforts in India, where some statisticians have tried to value the performance of the player against the amount of money they were receiving. I find this quite interesting, although some of the players wouldn't have enjoyed the results too much. So expect to see plenty of effort made all over the world to come up with an acceptable formula. Don't expect the ICC to act too quickly. They've gone very quiet on 2020 cricket, as I mentioned a little while ago. Right, so please don't forget to email your queries to tony@trickinfo.com. Don't forget to mention your name and the place where you're from. I'll pick the best question and answer it in next week's show. Thanks for your company. This is Tony for Cricket Info Talk, signing off.
The Tony Greig Show on Cricket Info Talk.